Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Launch Space. Today, we've got some folks from the Azure Communications Services team. They're going to talk ATS, just kidding. It's too easy an acronym. So we got some great folks. Before we get started, I just want to mention that this is a live broadcast. And if you want to interact with our speakers, please join us at https://aka.ms/learnTV. That's the link, aka.ms/learnTV. If you go there, we have live chat. We've got some moderators, and we'll be taking your questions live and asking the audience. So, so let's meet our panelists today, our guests, Piali Day, Marianne Nostowski, and also Sean Henry. So we'll start with Piali. Piali, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Hi, everyone. So nice to be here today. So my name is Piali. I'm a program manager on the Azure Communication Services team. Before I joined this team, I was a part of Azure Developer Relations org, actually with the same team that Brian is right now. So very happy to be here coming back. I did do a couple of shows on LearnTV before, so it's one of my favorite platforms. So nice to meet you all.
And Marianne?
Yep. Hi, I'm Marianne Nostowski. I'm a program manager on Azure Communication Services. I work with Sean Henry now, and I used to work with him back on the Windows Developer Platform previous to Azure Communication Services.
All right. That's a nice segue for Sean.
Yeah, I'm also a program manager on Azure Communication Services, and I've been working on the project kind of since we first started incubating it about 18 months ago, 2 years ago. And Brian, I'm expecting you, if I slip up and say ACS, that you have like a bleep button that you can like bleep me out with or something.
We absolutely will never mention ACS in this show at all.
Okay. Azure Communication Services, always.
We're not going to call it ACS. Anyway, and my name is Brian Benz. I'm a cloud advocate at Microsoft, and I host the Launch Space, among other things. So today we're going to start with Piali. She's going to give us an overview of ACS 101. And then our Azure Communication Services 101. And then Marianne is going to give us a voice demo. Sean's got a cool SMS demo ready to go. And then we'll come back for a wrap up and questions. And if you, like I mentioned before, if you have any questions about anything during the show, please join us at aka.ms/learnTV, where you can interact with us in the chat and we will ask questions live on screen. So let's get started with Piali.
Well, all right. So, Julia, do you mind share the screen? Okay, awesome. So, yeah, we are so excited to talk about, you know, our newest product, Azure Communication Services today. And we are, you know, this is a unique time to talk about communication. I mean, we are living in such a different world, right? Because one day we just woke up and the world was changed. Everything is virtual. Now all the physical interactions are limited. So, they're probably like, it couldn't be a better time to talk about ACS. So whether it's providing real-time virtual assistance or enabling curbside pickup, we have actually had to rethink about like how we communicate today. So today, like the next 60 minutes, we'll be talking about the product, giving you a little bit of, a snapshot of the offerings and how it can kind of like help you grow your business. And then, yeah, as Brian mentioned, feel free to, use the chat window to let us know what you want to hear more so that we can get to that at the end. Next slide, please. So as we've said that, you know, now that everything is virtual, but the business in today's world, that didn't stop because of the pandemic, right? Because the businesses are still working, they are still serving their customers, and we have the need to talk to our care providers for various services. So building a new communication experience from scratch, as you can understand, is not a trivial job. Most often that means that you have to invest quite a lot, or you need specialized expertise. So with Azure Communication Services, it becomes super easy for you to add voice, video calling, chat, or SMS text messages capabilities to your mobile apps, desktop applications, and websites. And the fun part is it just takes few lines of code. Next slide, please. Okay, waiting. Juliet, next one, please. Okay, let's wait for a few minutes. Can everybody still hear me? Brian, am I still audible? Okay. See, this is why communication is so important. I think we lost Juliet, who is in charge of our slide. Okay, I can actually, keep walking, giving you kind of like a little bit of overview, and once the slide's coming back, we can go over. So, we are imagining a different kind of industry verticals that can get benefited from this service. And I wanted to give some of the examples where we can see how the product can help you to grow your business. For example, to start with telehealth or telemedicine today, right? In remote healthcare, we can actually connecting patients to their care providers through video conferencing, and possibly help specialists across different hospitals collaborating better on a patient diagnosis. Let's take financial services. So all the financial leaders from corporate banks, they can now easily connect to their customers all across the globe with like easy chat services maybe. Also take out our education industry, right? You can imagine like how useful it would be if the parent and the teacher can communicate with each other without sharing personal information or phone numbers. So these are some of the like the examples of how we can help, but definitely this list is not exhausted. We can imagine much more industries that can get benefited from the product. So talking about the core services of Azure Communication Services, as I mentioned, we have voice, video, chat, SMS, and telephony. So we offer the product as a set of SDKs and APIs that enable you to add interactive and high quality. I think the slide is moving. Okay, next one. All right, I'll just keep talking. It'll catch up soon. So the core services, right? So Azure Communication Services is offered as a set of SDKs and APIs that enable you to add interactive and high quality audio video services to your applications. You can also integrate chat capabilities with an easy to use low maintenance interface that enable one-to-one or group chat functionality with like all the typical chat services that you can imagine. And SMS. SMS is definitely probably the most popular communication platform for us today, right? So we can also offer simple SMS experience for adding text messaging capability to applications for connecting with users who prefer mobile communications. And lastly, you can leverage our telephony services and infrastructure to provision phone numbers for end-to-end communication scenario. So this is like a snapshot of all the core services, and I wanted to take a few minutes to go into each of these services and talk a little bit more about what we can offer. Oh, okay, the slide is working. Juliet, next one, maybe a couple more. Yeah, the next one. Okay, awesome, so we are back. So let's take the first bucket, voice and video calling, okay? And let's see that what are the capabilities and what the product can offer. So our calling SDK and APIs for voice and video calling are so flexible that you can build and control the exact communication experiences you want with low latency capabilities for uninterrupted calling experience. And the best part is our services support all common developer platforms and languages, so these calling experiences can seamlessly shift between voice and video throughout a session across mobile and web. Next slide, please. Yeah, so our calling capabilities span across VoIP and PSTN. So with our VoIP capabilities, you can enable users of any application to launch a video or audio call with another user of a different application, so which can be facilitated as one-to-one or group calls. And if you want to use, you know, interact like the traditional telephone number, you can also take advantage of our PSTN infrastructure for voice calling. So in that case, the users will be able to make and receive PSTN calls using a combination of PSTN technologies and, of course, IP technologies. Next one, please. Yep, chat. Chat conversations happen within chat threads. So we have chat threads, and a chat thread can contain many messages and many users. So every message belongs to a single thread, and a user can be a part of one or many threads. So you can see why this is so important, because that way a service agent, maybe in a point of sale position, can use chat to attend multiple inquiries across different threads to accelerate time to resolution for more customers. And the interesting part is, since ACS is built on Azure, you can also use Azure Cognitive Services APIs with our chat client library to add intelligent features to your applications. Next one. So here are some more capabilities. So obviously, as I mentioned, you can do one-on-one chat, you can do group chat, you can also easily add or remove users on the fly and share chat history with them. You can edit or delete your messages and see it updated across devices. You can also, might find it super familiar that we have typing indicators, right? In which way you get notified in real time when other chat members are typing a message, as well as read receipts. And also, like, you know, for even richer experience, we have push notification, web control, emojis, and many more. We also have system generated messages as part of message history, and there are features that can show you UI indicators for when a user is added or removed for a chat, from a chat window. So the chat services is like extremely powerful for you to use. Next one, please. So SMS. SMS is one of the fastest growing methods of connecting to customers today, right? Because if we have a flight to catch, we always get those SMS notifications that remind us that, hey, it's time for boarding, or, you know, please check in online. So in fact, Americans today send at least probably like 26 billion text messages per day, according to Business Insider. So you can imagine that SMS service is one of the top five popular applications for smartphone users. So with Azure Communication Services, organizations and developers can seamlessly integrate SMS best workflows into their applications with Logic Apps Connector, or receive SMS notification through Azure Event Grid. Enable and improve the on-the-go interaction with users, reach media integration, and seamless connections across apps and websites. So a super powerful offerings through this product. Next one, please. So these are some of the capabilities that you can have using our SMS APIs. For example, you know, with this simple setup experience, you can add like all kinds of text messaging applications with high velocity message support over toll-free numbers in the United States. Additionally, you can enable two-way conversations to support customer service scenario, appointment reminders, as I said before, two-factor authentication, and other real-time communication needs. From a compliance perspective, though, we offer opt-out handling support to automatically detect and respect opt-outs for toll-free numbers, coupled with stop and start messages, same functionality. And finally, our PSTN calls. So with our telephony services, you can use our calling SDKs and APIs to provision phone numbers and connect them to calling capabilities for inbound and outbound calling. So that are like the top four or five services that we have today. And you can kind of now imagine that how each of those categories can help you to bridge those communication gap when we need it the most. So now I would actually hand over to my colleague, Marianne, who will do like a quick calling demo to show you everything in action. Over to you, Marianne.
Okay, great. Thank you, Piali. I am sharing my screen now. So this is our calling tutorial, our Azure Communication Services calling tutorial for our web client. You can go ahead and play with this yourself. We'll send out links afterwards so you can get your hands on this code and start playing with it. I'm going to walk through a high level of the code. We're not going to go into too much detail, but give you an idea of how easy it is to use our SDKs. And then at the end, I'll do a video call with myself to show off some of the capabilities and see it in action. So to get started with any call, you're going to need to, or any of the core services, I should say, whether it's SMS or calling or chat, you're going to need to get a user token for your user. And the cool thing about Azure Communication Services is that we are actually an identity agnostic service. So you can use whatever identity works best for your platform, whatever identity you're already using, whether it's Google or Facebook or AAD or Microsoft account or your own custom identity provider. It all works with Azure Communication Services. And that's because of this user token right here. So you will actually map the user token to your client's identity that you're using. Once you've provisioned the user token, then you are going to initialize all of the calling SDKs. So let's take a look at what that looks like. In this tutorial, we have a very simple service that's using our identity SDK, and this is the trusted service that we're using to provision the user token. So you can see we're going to get this token response, and the service is going to send it back to our calling client. Once we initialize the calling client, so you can see these two lines of code right here are actually initializing the client SDK. The create call agent is the bread and butter of the whole calling SDK. So this is the most important part. You're actually going to pass in that token credential, and that's the user token that we provisioned earlier that says identifies which user is actually joining the call. And then you can also pass in a username or a string to describe who that user is. Maybe you'll enter your name when you join the lobby for the call. And once you've done that, you're ready to set up your device manager, which will allow you to pick the microphones and cameras that you want to use for the call. And these two, the call agent and the device manager, are independent of each other. So you can initialize them completely separately. You don't have to do them at the same time. Once we've initialized the SDK, we're going to want to do some more interesting things like be able to mute and unmute, turn on and off your video. You're going to want to know when other clients are or other users are joining the call or even leaving the call. So this next section of code, this big block here, goes through all of that subscribing to different events. So the call agent, the call has a bunch of different properties about it, right? It has, are you muted? Are you sharing your video? Are you sharing your screen? And subscribing to these events tells the client when those options have changed, when those properties have changed. So if I'm toggling my mute button on and off, I'll get an event that says the mute is muted has changed. So that's what these subscription, or this is what we're doing in this section of code, is subscribing to different events that we want to pay attention to. The next thing that we care about is other users. So the remote participants are other users that are joining the call. Here we're subscribing to those other participants, to the other remote participants, the other users that are joining the call. And for each of those participants that have been added, we want to make sure we're subscribing to all of those same events. So the ones that I just talked about, if I'm muted, if I'm sharing my video, we want to subscribe to those events as well for all of those participants that are joining. So you can see the scenario where the actual code for subscribing to the remote participants is right here. So you can see the example of remote participant is muted. Here's the event. So if it has changed, you'll get an event that the is muted has been changed. And we're not talking about any UI right now, but you could see where you're building some UI where if you get an indicator that another person has muted themselves, you'll show a little mute icon on that person's video preview or icon or video preview. So once we have subscribed to all events, we've gotten notified when new users are added. We also want to make sure we're unsubscribing from users when they are leaving the call or being removed from the call. We can go ahead and get started with the actual call itself. At the bottom here, which I realize I kind of skipped over, I mentioned subscribing to different events like mute or unmute or sharing screen or even the video stream. So just make sure that we're subscribing to the remote video stream. That just means we want to make sure we're listening to when another user is sharing their video so we can actually render that video on the original user's website, web app. Okay, we're all initialized. We have our user tokens, so I think we're ready to start the call. I'm going to hide this code, and I think that's something that's very cool about this tutorial that our engineering team put together is it really breaks down the different steps you need to go through and allows you to look at the code specific to those steps. So we're initialized, we have our token. Let's handle placing a call and sending a call. So in this tutorial, before I jump into the code real quick, I'll explain what's going on. We have a field here for identities. So this is the same user token we provisioned above. This is my user token, but if I had another user, I would want to copy that token and put it into this destination identity. And that just means that I'm calling out to that other user. I'm calling out to that other identity. We can also, I think, as Piali mentioned, call add PSTN to our voice call. So if, you know, maybe you're having trouble with the voice over IP, your internet connection is poor, you want to dial in via traditional phone call, that's what this field allows you to do. So let's take a look at what the code is doing behind placing a call. And you'll notice we have a couple different types of calls. So we have a one-to-one call. I think that's very straightforward. It's one person calling a specific other person. So it's just one person calling another person. There's one-to-one call using a phone number. That's the dial-in scenario that we just talked about where you want to call into a traditional phone call. And then there's the one-to-end call, and this is initiating a phone call to a specific group of users. So you'll see this array here has, you can add in user IDs, you can add in phone numbers, any combination of those. The idea is that you're starting a call and you know specifically who you're calling and all of the participants you want to add initially. And of course, throughout the call, you can always add or remove participants. This is just starting the call with a known set of users joining the call. The other option for starting a call is a group call. So very similar to the one-to-end call, except for you don't know all the participants that are going to join ahead of time. You notice in the join a one-to-end call, we have the array of users that we know we're going to reach out to initially. For the group call, all we're doing is creating a call and assigning it a group ID. And this is going to have just a specific link that anyone can join as long as they have that group ID, they can join, or that link, they can join the call. So you don't need to know initially who's going to join when you start the call. You'll notice in both of these calls, so we have this call agent start call method, and we also have the join group call method down here. Both of them have this call options property, and these call options are things that you want to start the call with. So for example, or not necessarily just start the call with, but different options you want to have your call configured with. So if you want to always start calls with your mic muted, for example, or always start calls with your video off, that's all things that you can set up within the call options. And then there's a few other things you can do in there, but it gives you some configurability to make sure the calls and meetings are starting the way you want them to. we talked about initiating a call. So let's go into receiving a call. And this is pretty straightforward. We talked about subscribing to different events earlier on. With the call agent class, we can also subscribe to incoming calls. So when an incoming call is coming in, you have the option to either accept or reject it. And that, again, we don't have any UI shown in this code, but you imagine an incoming call comes in, so you'll pop up some UI that shows, do you want to accept or hang up the call? And then based on that response, you'll call either accept or reject the call. I think that is a pretty good overview of the calling SDK so far. I will point out, we're not going to go into too much detail at this point, but I will point out you'll see joining a Teams meeting. This is a newly announced feature in public preview where you can use an Azure Communication Services client, like we're using in this example, to join a scheduled Teams meeting. So we'll probably talk about that more in the Q&A section if people have questions. But for now, I'm going to try and give this demo a go and call myself. So I'm going to stop sharing my video in the stream, and I've already provisioned a user token. I'm going to simulate having two different users in, two different users. I have two different browsers here. They both have different user tokens. I am going to take the user token from my second browser, and I'm just going to place a call to that user using our one-to-one call. So place call. And here I'm just doing an audio call, and I'll add in video later. But at least we'll get an idea of the UI that will pop up. So we see we have those common controls. Right now I'm not sharing video. I'll probably mute myself just to make it not so terrible when the other user picks up. And then we have the, here we go. So here I'm going to go ahead and answer this. And I'm going to mute really quick just to make sure we don't get that nasty echo. Once I've joined the call, I can select different device settings. So this was that initializing the device manager. I can get whichever cameras I have available. So I'm going to go select a camera to choose from, and then I'm going to turn on my camera. So you'll hopefully see it on the other user's side. And then maybe I can try and do the same thing as well. And they should be using different cameras. Sometimes if they're trying to use the same camera, it locks up a little bit, but I think it should work. It was working earlier. I think that's one of the difficult parts about having a calling service or a communication service is when you're trying to live stream your video calls, you're doing video calls on top of video calls, and tends to add up a little bit on your computer. But if this doesn't get going in a second, then we can move on to the next demo. Let's see. One more try. Okay, well, maybe I'll see if I can load it. And if we have time at the end, I can give a quick demo, but I will now turn the time back over. Oh, a couple things I forgot to mention since I have this in front of me. So obviously we can mute and unmute, we can share our screens. We can also go, I meant share videos, but we can also share our screens too. So if you wanted to share your screen, I mentioned some teaching scenarios. We definitely have customers that are wanting to do education scenarios and teach, especially right now, remotely, and have a classroom setting where they can share their screen. You can also imagine some financial services that want to work through a customer's workbook. So yeah, here we have the sharing screen option. You can see kind of a mirror or infinity effect of me sharing my screen. But here's the calling tutorial. We'll send the link out afterwards so you can go play with it yourself. And we'll also talk a little bit more about the Teams interoperability later during Q&A. Okay, Sean, I will hand it over to you now to do the SMS demo and show us a little more about phone numbers.
Excuse me. Thanks, Marianne. I'm going to share my screen here. Let me just double check that you guys can see it. Yep, I got the infinity effect. I was going to show a little bit about how we can use Azure Communication Services to send SMS messages via PSTN public switched telephone numbers. And, you know, there's a bunch of different ways we could do this. You know, we have SDKs available for C# and JavaScript and all the usual languages that Azure supports. Or, you know, you could hit our REST points directly in, you know, any language you want. You can hit our REST endpoints and just use the REST APIs to send messages. But what I'm going to do in this case, we're going to try and do it with like a no-code solution using Logic Apps. So here I am in the Azure portal in my Azure subscription, and I've already created a communication service here. You create this just like any other Azure resource by creating a new one and specifying the location where you want to store data. And if I had been doing this from programmatically, I could have used the access keys here to the tokens here to programmatically access our services. But I'm not going to do that because I'm going to use the Logic Apps. So the next thing I need to do is go and provision a phone number. So I already have one here created. It's a 1-800 number for the United States that's provisioned to send SMSs. I can go and get more numbers if I want. Currently in Azure Communication Services, we support phone numbers only in the United States, but we'll be rolling out to more countries and regions fairly soon now. So I'm just going to cancel that because I already have a number created. But this is kind of all I need to do from an Azure Communication Services perspective to lease a phone number that I can now go and use to send SMS messages to. So after I've done this, let's go and create our Logic App. So if you're not familiar with Logic Apps, these are kind of the no-code, low-code designer applications, designer-based applications in Azure, where you can build everything in a flow. So I'm just creating a new one here. We'll call it ACS Logic Demo. And we'll just go ahead and create this from scratch. And while this is getting created, that was quick. No, it's still going. The nice thing with Logic Apps is you can connect them to your existing workflows that you may already have elsewhere in Azure, which is kind of nice for things like SMS messages where you might want to kind of send a notification at the end. So you can see there's all sorts of things that I can trigger my Logic App based off of. You know, you have a message coming out of Service Bus or something out of Event Grid, or even things like if a tweet get posted. I mean, that'd be kind of meta to send yourself an SMS every time a tweet got posted. But what we're going to do in this sample is we're just going to have it triggered on an HTTP request. So this is the designer here for Logic Apps for creating HTTP requests. I'll just save it real quick here. And you can see it's generated a URL here that I can hit from my service to send an SMS. And the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to tell it about the format of the data that I'm going to send it. So I actually already have it over here in this tab, kind of what I want to send. And one of the cool things you can do with Logic Apps is it can kind of generate the schema for you. So I can just put in this blob of JSON here with a name and a phone number, and it automatically generates the JSON schema for me. So what this block is doing is whenever I send a post to this URL, it will parse out these two parameters and pass it on to the next step. And at this point here, I'm going to connect it to an Azure Communication Services step. So I have one here. I was recently doing this, and we have a send SMS block. So I'm going to click on that. And the nice thing here is that it's already connected to my Azure Communication Services. So it knows the phone number that I'm using. And then I can specify from that previous HTTP request, I can specify the phone number to send to, and I can specify some tokens for the name is your message. And I can specify some other parameters, like if I want a delivery report. And we won't do that in this case. And that's really it. So just to kind of go over that again, what's going to happen here when I save this is we're provisioned so that when I hit this HTTP endpoint with a JSON blob, we will be able to specify, we will be able to send an SMS message. So I'm over here in Postman, which is a tool that lets you send HTTP messages. You could send this obviously programmatically, or you could use curl or any sort of tooling that you want to send messages. And so I've set a post message here in raw format with the JSON payload. And here's the number I'm going to send. So we're just going to switch away from my screen real quick so you guys don't all get my phone number. Oh, Juliet, if you want to switch away from my screen for a second. All I'm doing here is I'm typing in my my phone number here. You guys can listen to me do that, but you can't see it. Maybe you can guess by the keystrokes what my phone number is. And then I'm just hitting send on that request. And what's happening is, you know, it's hitting that HTTP endpoint and working its way through the system. And actually, I can show you here right now that I actually got the message on my phone. Hopefully, you guys can see that. I got the message came. I actually got a test message earlier when I was trying this out, and I got a message just now on my phone. So just like that, you can send an SMS message. So, you know, a couple interesting things there is obviously that's a great way to send notifications and messages off of your workflows. If you have existing workflows in Azure and you want to have an SMS message come off those, but you can also combine it with other parts from ACS. So for example, if you took like Marianne's demo that she showed earlier, which is a web-based video chat demo, one of the things that we've heard a lot from customers that they like is the ability to get their customers into a video chat without them having to download an app or log in to a particular service. So they can, for example, send an SMS message to their phone, click on that link, and it can take them right to a video chat within on their phone or on their desktop inside the mobile web. Or, you know, it could deep link into an application if you have an application on iOS or Android as well. So that was a brief overview of SMS. I'm going to hand it back to Brian from here.
Cool. Yeah, very brief demo. Oh, I'm all fuzzy today. Bandwidth. Oh, well. Hey, that was great. Great coverage. I would like to show a couple of resources that we have. So I'm actually going to share my screen right now. Just a moment. Share screen. Screen one. All right, so I'm sharing my screen here. I just want to show a couple of things. Everything that we have for the broadcast today, you can find at https://thelaunchspaceacs. Absolutely. As you know, we're not mentioning ACS today. It's Azure Communication Services, but that's what we say. The LaunchSpace ACS is where you can find all the resources today. And all the shows and the episodes we have for the LaunchSpace are at aka.ms/thelaunchspace. But just for this particular show, I wanted to say, you know, if you go to our show page, we'll put some more links up here. But I've got a few links that I want to show you. There is a couple of cool docs. We have Azure Communication Services docs built in to Azure. So if you go to docs.com and search for Azure Communication Services, you can find everything there. Or if you just go to that LaunchSpace show page, you'll find it there as well in a link. We also have a quick start that talks about creating and managing communication services. It takes you through the steps that Sean was talking about, creating a communication service, and then creating some connection strings and a few other things. And there's some next steps for getting an access token and things like that. We also have on Learn, Microsoft Learn, we have some Learn modules. And these Learn modules are there to take you through different exercises and teach you all about how these things work. So that's a couple of things I want to show you there. Let's take some questions. We had some questions from the audience, and I'd like to bring everyone back on screen so that you can see, so everyone's not, I don't know what's going on with my camera here. Live TV, it's fun, folks. It's probably doing everyone a favor, actually. We did have one question from a viewer named M. Pent. which I assume is a short name for HIP. But he said that he'd love to see a demo on intelligence appointment reminders and using bots to assist callers to confirm and reschedule appointments. On top of that, he's looking for interaction with audio recognition and a dial keypad. So pretty complete end-to-end app, actually, he's describing. And I'm guessing he might be involved in some sort of doctor's office or something like that that handles a lot of appointments. I know I've been on systems like that myself. So would anyone like to jump in and just sort of talk a little bit about that, about the intelligent, you know, having that sort of intelligent reminder with bots and then interaction with voice and or SMS to manage appointments?
I can take that one, Brian. Yeah, we have... we've been working a fair bit with the Azure Bot Framework team on integration with Azure Communication Services. so obviously, you know, you can build a bot with Azure bot services that can do intelligent, you know, text-based chat. And, you know, you can imagine doing scheduling and appointment reminders and stuff in a text-based chat. And I'm sure, you know, we're all familiar with that when we have to go deal. I was dealing with the cable company recently. We had a pretty advanced bot they were using. And kind of the nice thing with using the Azure Bot Framework is you can immediately also do that as voice bot. So all of the intelligence and all of the interactions that you're doing text-based with our Lewis, our language understanding framework, you can also do via audio. And then you can connect it back up with Azure Communication Services so your customer can dial a regular 1-800 number and get that experience where they can be having a conversation with that bot directly and interacting with it. And we showed a demo of this. I think, well, there's a Microsoft Mechanics session where we showed that with Scott Van Vliet. And I think, Marianne, also you did this a little bit at the Ignite session that you did, I guess, about a month ago in early February, I think, early March. Mm-hmm. So folks can go and take a look at that for sure. Maybe we can probably drop a link to that somewhere. But that was, you know, a really compelling scenario. What we showed in those cases is being able to take the user, you know, through these bots, these intelligent bots, through a workflow where the bot is asking them questions. And then we can actually, you know, once the bot kind of falls off its flowchart, when its intelligence kind of runs out, we can then take them to a live person, either via like a live chat or to like a video call, for example. So they can have like a live video call to diagnose things further.
Wonderful. Okay, cool. That's great. And yeah, I think the quick start that I showed earlier and some of the learn modules will help build that end-to-end application. It's obviously not built into the product itself, but it is there as a base to be used to build that.
Yeah, I think there's a sample actually on the Azure Bot Framework voice bots. If you go and look for their GitHub page for that, they have a good sample that integrates us.
Sweet. Okay, I'll look up the link for that in a bit, and we'll see if we can locate that as well. A few other questions. Now, if anyone has any questions for our folks here, we have about 15 minutes left. So if you go to https://aka.ms/learnTV, so aka.ms/learnTV, you can interact and ask us questions. We have moderators and we're moderating the chat. And in the meantime, we do have a couple more questions here. Marianne, you mentioned a little bit about Teams interoperability. Do you want to talk about that a little bit more? You know, it's built off the same services as Microsoft Teams. Can you just talk a little bit more about the connection between those two?
Yeah, absolutely. So Azure Communication Services, as you mentioned, is built off the same backend services that power Microsoft Teams. So the video calls, the services that are powering the video calls of Microsoft Teams are also powering the video calls that are being started by Azure Communication Service clients. The thing that I mentioned in the calling demo is that you can use an Azure Communication Service client to join into a scheduled Teams meeting. So I think if we take a good example of when you would use this or what scenarios work out well for this is that same doctor's office scenario of, you know, maybe there's a core group of doctors and nurses and other healthcare workers that are already using Teams app within their organization, but not all of their clients are going to be on Microsoft Teams. They're not all going to be, you know, part of AAD. So that's the scenario where having the Azure Communication Services client join into that Teams call makes it, one, easier for the end users because they can be in a context that they're more familiar. Maybe they're joining from the healthcare portal that they're already using. And it also makes it easier for the healthcare workers that are already in the Teams context that they're used to working with. So it's just bridging the gap and providing more flexibility for our customers to use the experiences that they want and make the most sense for their customers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Great. Okay. Let's see. The other thing I want to mention is, you know, data residency. Azure Communication Services is a global service. It's got a global resource provider. What does that exactly mean in terms of data compliance, residency, things like that?
Yeah, I can take that one. I think, you know, one of the things that is important with any communication service is being able to, you know, have low latencies and good, you know, good network connections between, you know, between participants in a video chat. I mean, that's exactly what we're seeing here. You know, if we were laggy for whatever reason, this conversation wouldn't work. So, so, you know, we try and make sure that our services are deployed globally, you know, as close as possible to the participants in our conversation. But what we do from, you know, a resource provisioning perspective is we allow you to specify where your data resides. And we currently support five geos in Azure Communication Services, which align with kind of the Azure hero regions. So we have, for example, you know, US and Europe and UK and East Asia and so on as locations where your data is resident. And then we'll be rolling out to more regions in the future, more geographies, I guess, in the future, more specifically. And then, you know, within those geographies, we handle redundancies and redundancy of the service, you know, between regions as well.
Cool. Great. I switched cameras while we were there, so I'm not looking more like an impressionist painter.
You look much sharper now.
Yes. Thank you. I don't know what happened there. It's weird. So I did have a couple more questions. In terms of the billing model, what's the billing model for? Is there a free tier? Is there, you know, and what is the billing model otherwise?
I can take that one. So the billing model for Azure Communication Services is all consumption based. You're billed based on what you use. So if it's minutes of usage for calling or messages for chat and SMS, the one caveat there is you are billed monthly for the phone numbers that you purchase. So in Sean's demo, I think it was like $1 a month for the phone number to have that phone number to be able to use. The interesting piece, or I think a question that we're getting with the Teams interoperability is how does the billing model work in the scenario where you have some users on Teams and some users on Azure Communication Services? And the Teams users in that case are covered by your Teams license or your M365 license. So you don't pay extra for those. You're only going to pay for the minutes that the Azure Communication Service clients or users are joining the call for. So that's another way to reduce costs on your end if you are using Teams interoperability, is you're only going to pay additionally for those Azure Communication Service users.
Cool. Okay. Great. Other than that, you know, the reason why we're having this on the launch space today is because we're in GA. So we're actually in the general availability which means that, did you want to talk a little bit about what general availability means for the product actually?
Yeah. I can take that one. We entered our public preview in September of this year, for kind of those first set of services that Piali was talking about, which was, you know, basic like voice over IP, voice and video chat over IP, you know, text-based chat. And then connections with SMS and public switch telephone numbers. So those kind of four modalities or set of features, we then moved those to the general availability, Azure general availability in just a few weeks ago, actually at the end of March. And what that means is that, you know, we're meeting the Azure SLA around availability, the particular number of nines that Azure promises and so on. And so for those kind of four set of features, we've met that bar and, you know, we have a guarantee of availability. And that's, of course, really important for, you know, anyone who wants to build and deploy a real service on top of this is you want to make sure it's going to keep working. So that was kind of a big deal for us, for the team is, you know, it means that we're real now, we're a real service. But we do have a lot of stuff that's rolling out. You know, we're going to have a continuous rollout of new features entering public preview soon. The Teams Interop feature that Marianne talked about entered public preview in February, and we'll be getting to general availability for that later this year. We have some new stuff coming as well that we talked about a little bit previously with UI frameworks coming on board. So we'll have the ability right now. Azure Communication Services is fairly low-level APIs. They kind of like some of the stuff that Marianne showed you. But being able to build controls up quickly in React or different frameworks so that you can quickly and easily integrate them into your existing applications is something that we're working on as well. And then kind of the third thing is really focusing on that geo-deployment, both in terms of you're getting more locations where customers can buy phone numbers, as well as having our service deployed to more regions, particularly for performance and data residency stuff.
Great. We did have a question. So I'm looking over here at my questions on the other screen. Victor Smith, thank you for asking. He was asking, how long do chat messages stay around? What's the retention policy? And I'm guessing that one might lead into questions about voice as well, storage.
So the chat messages will stay around until they're explicitly deleted. If a thread, if you have a bunch of different threads, if the thread dies off and no one's touching it and it's fully idle, then we'll only store the messages until 30 days, and then they'll be automatically deleted. So they'll stick around as long as a message chain or a thread is active. But once it's inactive, then the 30-day timer starts ticking.
Cool. Thanks, Victor, for the question. I do want to mention as well, we just have a few more minutes left. Anybody who wants to ask questions, aka.ms/learnTV, you can jump in there with questions for our Azure Communication Services product team experts here. Leading into that, so are there limits for the number of calling and chat participants inside of Azure Communication Services?
Yes, there are limits. It's not just however many people you want. 5 million of your closest friends can't right. join a call with you for your birthday, but there are limits. I think it's about 350 people, and you might want to go check these on our documentation. It's all pretty explicit in terms of how many users can join calls and chats, but I think 350 is the current number.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'll just add to that. I mean, that's for chats, and typically for things like video like this, it's very much dependent on kind of the performance of the client machines. So as you get more and more people, the quality can often degrade. But we typically recommend for like our native client implementations around 4 or 5 video chats for kind of a best performance.
Right. So I know the Rolling Stones are watching this. They're not going to be able to do their concerts on this. Sorry, guys. I was hoping I could get that for you. But yeah, anyway,
maybe someday we'll take that as a feature request. If Mick Jagger wants to put that on our backlog, we'll take a look.
We'll see. If you two wants to chime in, please do. Other than that, I mean, we talked a little bit about Teams. What other services can you use for in conjunction with communication services, Azure services specifically?
I think my favorite is kind of that bot integration that I talked about earlier. Yeah. Being able to connect things together like that really gives this kind of multimodal experience where you can kind of transition customers from text to voice to video and back and forth again, like through a solution. All powered by the language intelligence and the cognitive services in Azure. And I think that's like a really really compelling place where we can sort of integrate with cognitive services and provide intelligence on top of, in this case, kind of the text feed. And that's something we're kind of looking at in the future is, how can we start doing that in the audio and video feeds as well? And that'll be really powerful, when that kind of stuff comes online.
Cool. We just had another question from M. Pentagon. Thank you. So if the SMS service is available to a country like Canada, will it be possible to ensure that SMS will not be routed to another country? I guess he's concerned about billing and/or latency for that. Is there any way to maybe? I don't know if that's a.
It's an easy question to answer right now because it's only available in the U.S., so it always goes to the U.S. But that's not the answer you're looking for. We do have it documented, and as we roll out into other countries, that'll be specified. But typically the handling of the kind of traditional phone network is handled by the carriers. So, you know, that kind of stuff will stay within, you know, whichever carrier is being used to actually transport the SMS, which will be, you know, specific to that country typically. But that is, we do have pretty extensive docs already on our PSTN integration. And as we roll out to more countries, that's something we'll talk about there as well.
Cool. Well, let's see. I don't have any more questions. If anyone else has any questions, we got 5 minutes left. aka.ms/learnTV is where you can ask questions. Otherwise, does anyone else have anything you want to talk about? Roadmap or anything else that we could talk? Bialy, you mentioned working with cognitive services as well. Did you have specific examples you were thinking of?
I think Sean already mentioned it. I was just talking about the language intelligence that we can kind of like inbuilt with chat support, and especially rolling out this feature in countries where English is not their native language. This kind of services would be super, super useful.
Yes. Yeah. I love the translation services that we have. Yeah. They're actually pretty cool. They're actually very complete. It's always astounding me how well they translate things. So we do have a couple questions. So actually, it's not a question. Brian Mallerby, thanks for your statement. I guess data residency is for Canadians is very important. Yes, absolutely. It's something that, you know, once we're moved beyond the U.S., it's definitely, that's probably one of the reasons why we're only building this in the U.S. right now, is because there's all kinds of sovereignty issues and data residency issues that we'll be dealing with in our compliance group as we go. So
that's right. And that's, you know, one of the things that we're able to lean on, you know, both from Azure as well as being built on top of, you know, the M365 services as well. Those are all very good at handling privacy and compliance. And so that's been something that, you know, well, I wouldn't say it's been easy for us because it's something we pay a lot of attention to. You know, we've been able to really leverage a lot of the work that's been done, you know, by those services already. And I think it gives us a real, you know, advantage in the market that it's, you know, something that Microsoft, I think, does particularly well, is understanding those compliance and privacy rules across different countries.
Yes, absolutely. The Microsoft Privacy Center and Security Center are good resources for that sort of thing in general for all our products. We take privacy very seriously. So that's really important as well. We did have another question about interacting with Cosmos DB. I'm going to assume that the person who asked might have some Cosmos DB investments already and might want to. It's Carlos Marquez. Thank you for that question. He might already have some. If you already have some investments in Cosmos DB, I'm guessing, and you want to just integrate some callings and chat and maybe store some of the interactions in Cosmos as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of an open-ended question. I mean, there's a lot of things. Cosmos DB is you know, pretty big. I mean, it could be anything. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple things I can think of is, you know, potentially you might want to use like Event Hub, Event Grid integration. When like something changes in a Cosmos DB, maybe you want to send yourself an SMS, you know, for example. That's kind of an interesting scenario. And then in terms of, you know, in terms of storing data, you know, we store the data, you know, within the resource. We're using Cosmos DB in the back end. You know, obviously, you know, we're built on top of Azure as well, just like everything. You know, in terms of like if you wanted to store stuff in your own Cosmos DB database, you could use our Event Grid integration, and you know, every time a chat message comes in, you could get that, and you could store it then in your Cosmos DB if you wanted to, you know, use it further on in your solution as well.
On the back behind the scenes, you mentioned Cosmos DB. What are you using? I don't know if you're able to talk about this, but are you using Azure Storage in the back end, or because what I'm thinking there is, if you do, you could use a function to actually trigger the action to put this into Cosmos DB.
So. Yeah, I mean, function support is we can get that all through Event Hub. And that's actually something we didn't talk about. Sorry, Event Grid. Event Grid, I think. I sometimes get those confused. But yeah, you know, we have tons of events that you can pick off from the portal, and you can do all sorts of stuff with. Under the covers, as Piali mentioned, like there's a whole bunch of services under here that power Teams and Skype and all that kind of stuff. And it's just cool. You know, pretty fascinating how all that stuff works. I'd love to do an architecture deep dive with like Mark Rustinovich or something sometime and really get into the into the details of this, but we'll leave that one for later.
All right. Well, we have to wrap. We're at our time. So thank you very much. Check out all the details of the show at aka.ms/thelaunchspaceacs, where you can find all the links that we talked about today. And thank you to our guests. It was a great show. And you can find this recording on YouTube developer channel later. So thank you very much.